I will sing like David sang. Amen. Hallelujah.
I want to sing like David sang. He was a singer, and he was a dancer, and he wasn't ashamed to praise the Lord. A lot of people don't have victory because they let the devil cause them to worry about what other people might think. Well, what if I do something unseemly? Well, you probably will do something unseemly to you. It'll be decent. But, you know, you need to get out of order long enough to get saved. This gospel is to be enjoyed, not endured. Amen. It's to strengthen us, not weigh us down. Amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Nice to be back here again this evening. And for those of you that are going on the Sabino tour, I just wanted to add one thing from my many years of experience going up there. Make sure that you have at least a liter and a half of water per person. I always bring 2 liters. You know, I don't mind carrying water back if I don't need it. But if you're wondering how much that is, this bottle here is 16.9 fluid ounces. That's half a liter, right? So 2 of these makes a liter. 3 of them makes a liter and a half. I always bring at least 4. Actually, I usually bring more than that because somebody always doesn't listen, right? We have literally saved lives by bringing water because people didn't listen. And it's a good time of the year to go, and you think, well, it's not, 100 degrees, so I don't have to worry about water. You always have to worry about water if you live in the desert. So please do that. Please make sure that you've got 4 bottles per person, and you'll be happy. And, bring some snacks for a little energy. You'll be happy about that, too. Have a good time. Praise the Lord. Just one other thing here real quick. The state of Arizona has now made it the vaccine available to anyone 16 years of age or older. That's the state that's making that available. Unfortunately, we live in Pima County, and Pima County, they're playing politics and, but the state has places here in Tucson that, so if you go to the Arizona Department of Health website, you can book through there and get the vaccine if you're 16 or over. And right now there's still a lot of openings, so if you are interested in doing it, I wouldn't delay. It's up to you if you want to do it or not, but there are some benefits. Brother Andy demonstrated one of the benefits today as we were out praying with the musicians before the service started. He didn't have to wear a mask. So that's a big deal. And I can assure you that Andy's smiling. I don't know what he was doing before, but I can tell you now he's smiling. There's no mask covering up his face. So that's a big step in the right direction. And as we said on Sunday, as more and more of us go that route, we're going to be able to walk around without masks at least, and rearrange the seating eventually. It's not as concerning if people under the age of 18 don't get the vaccine. It's still up to you whether to do it or not, but they're much lower risk. And if those of us that are older and more at risk are vaccinated, then it doesn't matter whether the children are passing it around or not, because we'll be immune to it. So sure looking forward to getting this behind us, aren't you? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Let's stand. We were speaking on the signs of his coming, the signs of the coming of the Lord on Sunday. We'd like to do One more installment. We'd like to read from Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting at the 13th verse. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, this is prophecy, and this day, this prophecy is being fulfilled. So we are the ones that are being told to comfort one another with these words. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing in the reading of the word. How many like to be remembered in prayer? Just lift your hand up, Father, as we bow our hearts and our heads towards the dust of the earth, Lord. We look to you tonight, the author and finisher of our faith, Lord, and you supply everything that we have need of. And Lord, what an honor it is to be in your presence, to have a way made that we could come back into your presence. And there's none of us that are deserving of it, Lord, but this is your unmerited favor and grace towards us. And Lord, we are so thankful and we are so appreciative here tonight. And we just ask, Lord, every hand that was lifted, that you'd look upon each and every need, Lord, and meet that need according to their faith. And Lord, we'll surely give you the praise and honor and glory once again. And Lord, we ask that you'd minister to each one as your word goes forth. Lord, may you direct the word where faith is. Lord, may it find its resting place. And Lord, may it produce the thing that is needful in our lives at this time. Be with those that are not with us, Lord, those that are listening in. And Father, we give you all praise and honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to read also from Revelation chapter 10, starting at the first verse. This, once again, is a chapter that's dedicated to this church age. This is scripture that's being fulfilled in our day. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. So this is a covenant angel, and we know that this is Christ, the theophanic Christ, not a corporal body, but it's the theophanic Christ coming down. And his face was, as it were, the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Now, we know the seven thunders are, it's a message through seven messengers of each age. And we know that the message is Christ. So it's really one voice, but it's seven utterances. And write them not. And of course, we know that there was a supernatural element that wasn't revealed in each age, that was reserved till the end time to be revealed. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, that's seventh church age messenger, that's a messenger to Laodicea, we know it as William Marion Branham. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. Now, this is Christ, and John is a type of the bride. And John is told to go and take that little open book from the hand of Christ. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and I ate it up. And it was in my mouth, sweet as honey, the message of the hour. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. It starts a war in your members, but it's certainly sweet in your mouth. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. So prophesy again means to say the same thing that's already been said. But now he's going to say it with revelation because he's eaten it and he's become one with it. And the Lord has revealed it, and it's a type of the bride here in the last day that we're saying what he said, but we're saying what he said with inspiration, with understanding. We're not just a dumb parrot that's repeating or a tape machine that's repeating, but we're saying what he said with understanding. So it's so important that we be established in the present truth, whatever age that it is that we happen to be living in, and we know that we're living in the last days, and also that we be able to identify ourselves in the portion of the word that's unfolding in our day. And we know that we are living in an incredibly supernatural junction in time when a door is open, literally, and angels are ascending and descending. And as we saw on Sunday, we display the level of our revelation of our day by not so much by our words, but by our attitude. So let's read another portion of scripture before we go any further here tonight from Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. Another scripture, text that is that it's written for our day. It's a message for our particular day. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, that's the seventh church age messenger, these things saith the Amen, that's Christ, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. God creating himself into his own creation. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And the word lukewarm is kleros in the Greek, and it means tepid, lukewarm, metaphorical of the condition of the soul, wretchedly fluctuating between torpor. I wish they'd just, you know, come out and use simpler words, but the word torpor means apathetic or lethargic. So fluctuating between apathy and lethargy and fervor, which is excited or passionate or intense heat. So fluctuating between apathetic and passionate love. Fluctuating between it. So, you know, we many times we read this and we think it's just somebody that's accusation of being lukewarm meant that they were never hot or never cold. But no, it's actually that they're going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and they're okay with it. Actually, the city of Laodicea was a they had water that came to them from the city of Hierapolis, and there was a hot springs there. And the water was hot on its way over, but by the time it got to the city, it was lukewarm. They also had water that came from Colossae, which was a city that was to the east. So Hierapolis, or whatever, that Greek city, was to the north, brought this hot springs water that by the time it got there, it was lukewarm. There was cold water that came from Colossae, but by the time it got to Laodicea, it was lukewarm. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Now, Laodicea was a very wealthy city. They had a lot of gold. They actually had everything that they needed, and they didn't need to even trade with other cities. They could get by on their own. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. That's the trials of your faith. And of course they had gold. That thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That thou mayest be clothed. They were also known for their manufacturing. They manufactured clothing there and had black wool that was very prized that came from that area. And yet the Lord is telling them that they're naked. That thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Now they had a temple there, which was to the god, his name was Men. And in this temple, they had a medical school. And they were renowned for their ability to they had treatments for ear problems and for eye problems. They had a powder. It was a Phrygian powder that originated from that area. It ended up being used in lots of other places, but it was from that medical center that they came up with this powder to make an eye salve so that it would help you with eye problems that you might have. It would form a paste, and it would be almost like a clay on your eyes, and it was a little bit painful when they first applied it, but supposedly there was some medicinal value to it, and of course we know that they were spiritually blind. And so this is not speaking of a natural eye salve, but of a spiritual eye salve. That thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, God's children welcome correction. I'm just going to cut right through it. You know, we're not battling with anybody. If you don't like correction, that's your problem. But if you're a child of God, you actually, not only can you take correction, you want it. Because you don't want to be wrong. And you realize that it's a gift of God. It's the gift of the Holy Ghost to even bring correction. Because if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't know. And we'd be hindering the coming of the Lord. We'd be hindering the dead coming back. We'd be hindering the body change. Because we wouldn't be able to have the fullness of the word because of our error. So if you're a child of God, you welcome correction. And he tells us right here that I will rebuke you and I will chasten you. As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. So, you know, Laodicea didn't want to receive it. The age that we're living in, they don't want to receive it either. But if you're a child of God, you will receive it. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, then open the door. Not the voice of the church, not the voice of the organization, not the voice of man, but Christ himself speaking to you. And open the door, and that's the door to your heart. I will come into him. I'll quicken you by the Holy Spirit, then I'll come in and dwell with you. I will come in and sup with him. I will commune with you. I'll share my word with you. I'll reveal myself to you. And you with me. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Now this is spoken to of course, we know the bride of every age is going to be seated with him in his throne. But this reward to the overcomer in this last day, it's seven times hotter. And this is the greatest reward. And it's being spoken to the overcomers of the seventh church age, just showing how much it is that we have to overcome, but how great the reward is. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And the church says, Amen. Amen. So we see the conditions of our age described perfectly in this prophecy. And this age that we're living in, it's characterized really with distraction, with complacency, with a lack of vision, with nakedness, with a lack of zeal, with a lack of desire for the truth or to be correct. I wouldn't say right, because everybody wants to be right. And there's a way that seemeth right, but leadeth to destruction. But correct is a better word for it, I guess. It's also most notably characterized with the inability to receive correction. And that's, you know, as a pastor, that's one of the things that we face. It's one of the greatest things that we face in this in this time is people not wanting to receive correction. And knowing that when the Lord puts something on your heart, if you preach it, that somebody's going to get upset about it. And you just do anything to not have to say it. You just do anything to just want to go around it. But love is corrective. So this age is characterized with the inability to receive correction when chastened. And the issue becomes the chastening rather than the deed. So when you have a discussion with someone, they've got a bone to pick with you. And when they come, I don't like how you did that. You know, well, how it was done is not the issue. It's what you did is the issue, right? And that's what's being addressed. Certainly there's different ways of handling it, but friends, it's the grace of God to bring that correction. And it's not intended to be a beating. It's not intended to be condemnation. In fact, it isn't condemnation. It's conviction. And if you'll receive it, we came to the end of the service, and I just about spoke in tongues here at the end of the service. We came to the end of the service on Sunday night and speaking about how when you receive that correction, how you feel scrubbed out, and how a service you'll just get scrubbed out. We need to be that way, friends. We need to be scrubbed out every time we come together. Every one of us. And if you're sitting there, listen, I'm not talking to you. If you're sitting there with a little attitude and upset and you're talking to me, I ain't talking to you. I'm talking to believers here tonight. I'm not fussing with people that don't want to receive correction, okay? If you want to receive correction, God will bring it because He loves you. And you'll feel better. That's the cure to lukewarmness, is getting scrubbed out. We don't just have to have annual meetings to get scrubbed out, friends. Every time we come together, we ought to get washed by the water of the Word. So we're chastened by God in many different ways. It can be through our parents. God can use our parents to chasten us. God can use our loved ones to chasten us. God can use the hearing of the Word to chasten us. In prayer, we can be chastened. Reading of the Word, we can be chastened. Counseling. I don't know how many people that I can pray with them at the altar, but when we sit down for counseling, they don't want to receive it. And I don't understand why. It's like, well, why did you come? Did you want to hear something that affirmed the rut that you're already in? I mean, the stand that you take? Or did you want some help? Well, I wanted it to feel good. It ain't going to feel good. It'll feel good when you get right, though. Correction from those over us on the job or at school. There's many avenues that the Lord can chasten us by if we will receive it. And here we are living in the last age where we've been given the means and the opportunity to come clean. We are living in God's no longer winking at our ignorance because we're no longer ignorant. The fullness of the Word has come, and where the fullness of the Word comes, we can repent of our wrong ideas, our wrong teaching, our wrong thoughts, and receive that engrafted Word and be washed by it and be dressed in white raiment, pure and white, which is the righteousness of the saints. And the church says. And yet there's a lethargy towards the things of God, and there's a general resentment toward correction of any type. And you feel like you got to kind of dance around. Our prophet faced it all through the message. And we're still facing it today because it's the spirit of our age. And it is a result for many of a lack of a clear vision of the day that we're living in and what part it is that they're supposed to be living out. And we become, particularly here in America. So the other thing that's noteworthy about Laodicea is they had the largest stadium. It would seat in Asia Minor. It would seat 25,000 people at that time. We're a nation of spectators. We want to go and see something, and we want to We want to go to meetings and hire somebody to entertain us, and, we want to literally place a responsibility for applying the ISAV on this person that we paid to do it. We want that person to, you know, bring conviction, but just don't be too rough with us. You know? And we saw last Sunday that a king, Jesus gave us a parable of a king that sent out invitations for the wedding of his son. And there were many who did not attend because of what they were doing. In the natural, was more important to them than the wedding was, the wedding of this king and this king's son. And the strange thing is that those that initially said that they would come and then made excuses for why they didn't come, they didn't see that they were placing necessarily a greater value on these other things that occupied their time, a greater value on those things than the things of the kingdom. In their mind, they were actually making a choice, and it wasn't that they didn't want to come to the wedding per se. It's just that things came up, and in their mind, these other things were more important. And they didn't really, you know, they almost felt like, well, duh, you have to do these things. But they failed to recognize that they were making a choice, because we do what's important to us. And we make excuses for everything else. So we're living in a day where we can have perfect faith. And it's made possible by having the fullness of the word and no longer just a partial word. We've had a partial word throughout the ages. God has been winking at our ignorance, and our high priest has been interceding on our behalf. And so it wasn't possible for us to have perfect faith because we didn't have the fullness of the word. But now we have the fullness of the word in its correct form, in its restored form. So in order to possess perfect faith, we have to see the manifested word of our day. We have to see it. And then we have to find ourselves in the unfolding of that word. Every generation has to see the supernatural. Every generation has to see the manifestation, not just a text, but a manifestation. Now, we are all part of as Brother Branham said, we are all part of a great symphony, if you will, and the Holy Spirit is a conductor of that symphony, and each one of us is an instrument waiting to be played, waiting to play our part as it comes in the piece that's being played. And so we have a part to sound out when our time comes, but if we don't have the sheet music before us, which is our message, and we're not watching the conductor, which is Christ, we won't sound when our time comes. But if we know what it is that's going to take place, then we will anoint our eyes with ISAV, and we will watch, and we will look, and we will wait patiently and expectantly for our cue. And one of the most numbing things to our faith in this hour is to be around others who were once on fire but are now just marking time. They're just now one day turning into the next, and they can't see what Christ is presently doing among us. And it's an attitude more than words. And if you're not careful, it can affect you. You don't have to let it affect you, but it will affect you if you're not staying in prayer, and if you're not spending more time with Christ than you are with other people. You know, that's one of the trappings of church, is that we're social creatures, and some people come to church just for the social part, you know, and they want the social this and the social that and this activity and that activity, and then they cry and moan if there aren't enough activities, and or if it isn't the right activity, or if they have to travel too far for it, or whatever it is. But that's not why we're here. Those are byproducts. Those are things that come with it, but that's not why we're here. Our focus is on Christ, and there's no better place for us to come than to gathering together with those of like precious faith. So Paul tells the church about the signs of the coming of the Lord, and then he tells us to comfort one another with these words. The problem with our age is that people are seeking comfort in everything but the prophecy of our day. And friends, there are so many things, you know, as we looked at it on Sunday, that actually one of the things that we have to overcome is the riches of our day, the soft living of our day, because all of those things are designed to provide comfort, right? But he is our comforter, and he wants to be our comforter, and our comfort should come from the Word. Our comfort should come from Christ. But if we're looking for comfort from all these other things, we're certainly not looking for comfort from him. So these words pertain only to our day. How often do we reflect on him, though? How often do we speak of his coming? How often do we comfort one another with these words? And of course, we would have to come together in order to be able to comfort one another, would we not? I don't believe that we're supposed to comfort one another on Facebook. In fact, I can tell you right now, Facebook doesn't comfort me. Most of the time, it irritates me. We just use it to mainly to try to communicate things that are important for the body and you know, a few other things, a few other social things, I guess. But I'm not looking for comfort or truth or wisdom from Facebook. It's when we come together for the hearing of the Word. Now, the beach isn't the comfort that you need. Now, if you just came back from the beach, that's all right. It has its place. We all need to take time off. We all need a vacation. But if going to the beach rather than going to church is your comfort, you've got the wrong comfort. John the Baptist's message was a message of comfort. Your coming to the assembling together with the saints, it is, sometimes it might be for the benefit of others more than you. But remember, you're part of a body, and so are they. Amen. And, you know, you say, well, I have all that I need, Brother Doug. Well, then you are withholding that from the body when your assembly is hit and miss. Now, I'm just going to preach it, friends. You do with it whatever you want. But this is God's love to you. We want to be in a position where God can use us when he decides to do so. You never know what's going to happen in a service. Once again, it's not attendance or an attendance thing as much as it is a reflection of our priorities, because we do what's important to us. And the building up of your faith that comes through the obedience to the Word, it should be a priority. So our attention needs to be on the day and on the hour that we're living in and upon the seriousness of this day. And we also must see ourselves in his coming. So I desire, friends, more than anything, to stir up your pure minds so that you can see clearly what the Word says about you. I want you to see it yourself. I want Christ to reveal it to you personally. This isn't a matter of memorizing scripture or learning camp doctrines, but it's a personal unfolding of the Word to you. It's Christ revealing his Word to you personally. Now, friends, we are the spiritual seed of Abraham if we are born again of the Spirit of God. And as such, as the spiritual seed of Abraham, we will, one, recognize the presence of the true God among us. Number two, we will hear his voice. All of us. Number three, we will commune with him. All of us. Number four, we will clearly see our day and our part as the Word speaks to us. The religious leaders of Jesus' day, they said, well, we have Abraham as our father. And Jesus' answer to them was, well, the evidence that you are Abraham's seed is your ability to recognize God when he's standing before you and is speaking right to you. Yet they could not recognize the presence of God. Thus, the title of the message, The Presence of God Unrecognized. Of course, they failed to recognize the Son of God, who was standing right before him, proving that they were not the true seed of Abraham, though they were physically, naturally descended from Abraham, but they were not the seed of Abraham according to the promise. Abraham could recognize the coming of the Messiah in his day. Abraham's seed are identified as people who can recognize God in his present coming. Now, friends, what kind of an attitude should we have when we come to church if we recognize his presence? How can we come into his presence and be thinking evil thoughts and be holding grudges and take communion? It just kills me. People just take communion month in and month out for years, and then they leave and they've got a grudge, and they've been holding that for years, taking communion all that time. What is church all about? Do you recognize his presence? Every way that God came to Abraham, whether it was as in the form of Melchizedek, whether it was as Jehovah Jireh, whether it was as Elohim, Abraham recognized him. He never missed it. He recognized God in whatever form he came in. He didn't see three different gods in each unveiling. He saw one God, yet it happened in the same day. There was a blinding that took place, as we were speaking about last Sunday. There was a blinding that took place 2,000 years ago in the Hebrew Laodicean church age. And there's a blinding that's taking place today. And friends, we don't want to miss our day. And we don't want to miss our visitation. But we want to be purged so that we can see our day clearly. And once you see it, you won't need to be coaxed to come to church. In fact, you'll look forward to it like people look forward to a ball game, or they look forward to a music program, or they look forward to shopping. You'll look forward to coming to church. You'll look forward to those church doors opening, and you'll be sad if you hear that church was canceled. You'll be as glad as Abraham. And you'll want to commune with him in his present coming. Now, how many believe that Abraham communed with God? Amen. Yeah, yeah. Well, how much more are we communing? In fact, we're communing in a more personal way with him than Abraham did. Because Abraham, it was external, right? And they supped one with another externally. But with us, it's internal. It's a spiritual communion. And that's a greater communion, friends. You know him in a greater measure, and you're communing with him in a greater measure than Abraham was. You know him in a way that Abraham didn't. So you see him as your source of comfort. You naturally run to him when you need comfort. You don't run to the church. You don't put plaster it all over Facebook. You run to him. You don't need people to feel sorry for you. You need him to comfort you. And he's your source of comfort. And I don't care what your situation is, he can comfort you. I don't care what the trial is, he can comfort you. I don't care what the circumstance, what you're going through, he can give you the comfort that you need, that nothing else can give you. And once you learn that, you'll want to run to him. Amen. Hallelujah. You'll see him as your source of comfort. You'll want to commune with him. You'll want to spend time in his presence. You won't be able to wait for those doors to come open. You'll recognize his presence when you come in. You'll thank him. You'll give him praise. You'll worship him before you leave. You'll take him with you. You'll thank him for the word. Amen. You'll thank him for the life. Amen. And others at the very same time will fail to recognize that he's here even now. Amen. But friends, he's here. Amen. Our purpose, as I've said over and over and over, our purpose is not to beat you down or to make you feel bad, but for you to see that your eyes need to be fully opened in this hour. Amen. And when that takes place, when your eyes are fully open, you'll be on fire. You won't need somebody to pump you up. You won't need a certain minister to come through, and you won't respond unless that certain minister comes through, or a certain this or a certain that. Amen. It'll light a fire that will burn until Jesus comes. And you will look fervently for what will come next. And you'll be in expectation. We're living in an age of a strong delusion because people fail to get a love of the truth. They may have an informational knowledge of the truth. And friends, so much of what people call religion is just information. But they lack a passion for it. We are progressing further and further and further into the hour of darkness. In the world, the light of the word is all but being snuffed out. You know, what we're seeing taking place in this latest political season and the backlash and the pressure and all that's coming up, all that's designed to do is to squeeze out any light that's out there. But they're not taking the light from you, and they can't take the light from you. But it's supposed to get darker. In a almost twisted sort of way, you ought to rejoice because your redemption is getting closer. There's no way there could be a whole lot of light out there and him be coming. There has to be a rejection. Light has to be squeezed out. The long suffering of God, the cup of the iniquity of the Amorites must be full, of the Gentiles, it must be full. And the long suffering of God must play out, and it must come to the place where there's a total rejection. Amen. But you've been given eye salve, which increases the ability of your eye to see in dim light conditions. It gives you eagle vision. You can see things that other people can't see. And you look at them, you think, "Why? It's right there. What do you mean you can't? It's right there. It's not even complicated. It's right there. It's in plain view. Can't you see it?" No, not without that eye salve. Don't take it for granted, friends. It's the hearing of the word that gives you eye salve, because that's how you can see. And that's what gives you revelation. Knowing the scriptures that speak of us is what gives us clear vision and perfect faith. When Jesus looked to our day, he asked the question. He said, "When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth?" Now he's asking himself that question. Will I find a people who have a vision? A people without a vision will perish. Will I find a people who have a vision? Will I find a people who know who they are and where they're at in the vision? Friends, I don't want to be a faithless one. I want to be a faithful one. I don't want to be found running without a message. I don't want to run on enthusiasm. I don't want to run on emotion. I want to run on a vision. The disciples found that they could not cast out an evil spirit one time. And Jesus had given them the power. He'd given them the authority to cast out evil spirits of sickness, of disease, and so on. And they were having great success with it. But they found this one case, and they weren't able to do it. The problem wasn't, "We need gifts, Lord." That wasn't the problem. The problem was with their lack of understanding of their position. You see, they were disciples, and they did believe that it was possible, but they did not understand their position. They did not understand their authority, and they were not in position yet to operate in authority, and that's why they weren't able to do it. But when you recognize who you are and what authority that you have, you just look at that thing and say, "Now, look, we can stand here all night long, but you're going to go." Right. Not ifs, wins, or buts, but, you know, you're going to go in the name of the Lord. Right. Listen to this in the message, Perfect Faith. Now, remember, they had the word, and the word was flesh then. And the word told them, "I give you power." Amen. "I give you power." And they had power, but they didn't have faith to operate the word that was in them. See what I mean? So it hadn't been revealed to them. See what I mean? But Jesus had it. He was the word. And he had faith that what he said would happen. He said, "Oh, I'll bring him here. How long will I suffer you?" He had faith with his power. How did he? He said, I can do nothing in myself. Why? He relied upon what he was. He relied in knowing that he was the Word. I hope you're listening. And he had faith in God, who made him the Word. He was God, the Word. And they was in him. And that give him faith because he understood his position. He knowed what he was because the scripture had said he was this. And here, every scripture tied in to prove that he was exactly what the scripture said he would be. And he knew what he was. Amen. Now, friends, the scripture is describing in great detail who you are too. Amen. But you can't doubt that that's you. Therefore, he relied upon what God had made him. And if he did that, then can't we rely upon what God made us as believers? Friends, what we're doing is we're coming to the recognition of what we are. Not what we're trying to be, but who we really are. What God made us to be. What our authority is as sons and daughters of God. That's what we're waiting on. We're not waiting on power. The power's here. We're not waiting on the Word. The Word's here. He relied upon what God had made him. And if he did that, then can't we rely upon what God made us as believers? These signs shall follow them that believe. He had faith in what he was. And if you're a believer, you have faith in what you are. You are a believer. And if you've got faith in God, the Bible said over here, if our hearts condemn us, then we can't have faith. But if our hearts don't condemn us, that's why we need to be washed by the water of the Word. If our hearts don't condemn us, then we have faith and we have confidence towards God. And that's why we got to make things right all the time. Your heart cannot condemn you when you stand there and recognize, I am redeemed. Everything in my life is subject to the Word of God. I am a prisoner to the Word. The Word is ruling over me. The Word is controlling me. I am not a sinner. I am a son. Okay, I lost a few of you there. As long as you remain a sinner, you'll never walk in this. He died that you would become sons and daughters of God. Again, he says, now the only thing you have to do then is to have faith in what you are. Now, if you think you're a sinner, well, have faith in that and see how that works out. You'll just continue to backslide because you can't live any higher in your confession. Have faith in what the Word says you are. The Word doesn't say you're a backslider. It says you're an overcomer. I don't want to sound proud. Hey, the Word is saying it, not you. Have faith in what the Word says you are. I don't care what you think. What does the Word say? That's the key. Oh, friends, help us, Lord. Help us to just be children and take you at your word. Believe that we are who you say we are. Jesus had faith in the Word of God. Then he said what he was. It is written of me. Friends, we ought to be at that place where we're saying it is written of me. I found myself in the volume of the book. Didn't David and the Psalms and the prophets, all of them speak of him? I am the bread of life that come from God out of heaven. Amen. I am the tree of life from the Garden of Eden. I am all these things. I am that I am. And he knew with that perfect faith that he was the anointed Messiah, that the Spirit of God was upon him. And he said, now I, in myself, do nothing, but it's my faith in God, and God was in him, and the Word made manifest. And when the Word of God comes in you, amen. And when the Word of God comes in you, amen. And when the Word of God comes in you, it's made manifest. Why? Because you are a believer. Amen. See, and a believer is the faith of God that moves in you. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want a living faith, friends, that's moving inside of me. Not something that's questioning, not something that's doubting, not something that's depressed, but something that believes. I want to know that the Spirit of God is upon me to do this and to do that and to do this. That I'm a Messiah anointed to do the will of my Father. Friends, if he's the Son of God and I am a Son of God, if he did the Father's business, won't I? Won't you? I don't have as big a part to play as he does, but I do have a part to play. Again, he says, knowing who he was, without a shadow of a doubt, he knew he was the Son of God. He knew it, for the Word identified. The Word of God identified who he was. He said, if I do not the works of my Father, then don't believe me. But if I don't do them works, well, don't believe me. But if I do, then believe the works, for they are manifested, word promised. So friends, if the word spoken for this day is manifesting in you, they're speaking of you. Oh, if I could just, if you could just wake up to that a minute, he says. Imagine how our prophet must have felt right about this time. He had no peers. Nobody had gotten to this place yet. He's preaching, and there, a generation is going to have to grow up and mature to come to this place. But he said we would come to this place. So in the meantime, he's trying to describe the color green to people that don't have eyes. And that's not being critical of the people that they were there at that time. Not at all. They were believers. But it was just beginning to open up. Oh, if you could just wake up to that a minute. You see, the word itself identified him. Who he was. And he said, who can condemn me of sin? In other words, who can show me that my life and my works don't fulfill exactly what a Messiah should do? Nobody could say nothing, for he was. Then he had faith to believe, and then of whatever he said, it would happen. Friends, I am just convinced that if we would come together every time and just lay down our foolish pride and come together and say, God, just wash me, no matter what it is. Wash me, cleanse me, let me be all scrubbed out. Well, now you're in a condition to start believing something. And you can start believing what the Word says about you and start confessing it, and you'll start seeing it manifested on a daily basis. And that'll make you want to come back for more. Then he turned around and he said, the works that I do shall you also. Amen. Focus was on him. Then he turns around. Won't be just me. It'll be you too. The works that I do shall you also. A little while and the world seeth me no more. Yet you shall, because I'll be with you, even in you. Amen. Take no thought what ye shall say, for it's not you that speaks, it's the Father that dwelleth in you. You get all scrubbed out, you'll know that it's him speaking. Get out of your carnal thinking, and we all get in that carnal rut if we're not careful. It's thy Father that dwelleth in you. He's the one who does the speaking. And it's not me, it's the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. See what I mean, he says. In a way. Again, he says, and now we. Can we preach this tonight? We become anointed with that same Spirit. Friends, if it's the same Spirit, it will do the same thing. Then it's not, people are so worried about, well, you know, I'll be bragging this, that, the other. It ain't you doing nothing. It's you getting out of the way and letting God. It's letting that Spirit operate through you. In a way, you don't even know what you need to say or do. He does. Just surrender yourself and let God use you. And he'll do the same works. Glory to God. And now we become anointed with that same Spirit. Anointed Messiahs. Messiahs of the last day. A Messiah means an anointed one. to shine forth the resurrection of Christ, to show that he's not dead, but in the form of the Holy Ghost. He's in his people, moving among his bride with a love affair to her, pouring out into her himself. Now, friends, we're seeing a lot of hate coming on the scene. And if you're giving into that, you need to tune out, because you're supposed to be going the other direction. People are supposed to be seeing the love of God. Now, love is corrective. We're not saying you're going to compromise. Laodicea was a very compromising city. We're not saying that you're going to compromise, but we shouldn't be filled with hate. We shouldn't be sucked into what's taking place out there. But instead, we should be, that love affair should be on display. Amen. Pouring out into her himself, they are becoming one for the wedding supper. And the same signs promised by the same God in the same word, amen, is making the same manifestations. Amen. There's nothing left for us to do but. Oh, we got a whole big old long excuse list. There's only one thing we got to do.
Amen.
Believe it.
Amen.
And believe it is the substance. That's what makes it happen.
Amen.
Believe it is the substance, and that creates a perfect faith. Just think. Just think of that just a minute, he says. Listen, friends. Those that he's speaking about, they know who they are.
Amen.
If you don't know by now, you need to get to praying.
Amen.
You need to not miss services.
Right.
You need to press in. You need to quit the foolishness.
Right.
Quit the jokes and whatever else. Press in.
Amen.
It isn't just for some to know, but you got to press.
Amen.
So those that he's speaking about, they know who they are. And nothing is going to distract them.
Amen.
Because they're sold out. They're not lukewarm. This is their focus. They're not up and down and in and out and on and off. And people problems are long past that. Those things are just designed to trip you up. Those things aren't going to stop me. Are they going to stop you? Well, what if the whole church leaves? I'm still going on. No way am I committing suicide or getting bitter or angry or whatever. No, I'm going on. Because I know, actually, I know whatever happens is going to happen anyway. And my footsteps are ordered. I may not like what I have to go through, but I know it's for my own good. So who do I have to fear? What do I have to fear? Praise the Lord. There's nothing left for us to do but believe it. And believe it is the substance. And that creates perfect faith. We are, just think of that just a minute, he says. These people that are being spoken of here, their hearts and minds are set. They'll not be turned this way. Pressure has to come. There has to be some pressure to prove who's who and what's what.
Amen.
They know their purpose, and they're equipped by his word to fulfill their portion. And nothing is going to pull them off track. Nothing is going to sideline them. Nothing is going to keep them out of church. And this is the entire body that's going to display this. Let me say that again. This is the, so friends, if you're coming up short, let that be some conviction. Let God deal with your heart. You know, that's the part that's so frustrating, is to see spectators just sitting there looking and thinking, well, that don't bother me. I wish it did. It scares me that it doesn't bother you. It should. And if it doesn't, what can I do? What can he do? I could preach until the cows come home, whatever time that is. But if you don't receive, if you don't allow the Holy Spirit to bring conviction, if you harden your heart, as they did in the days of provocation, The Holy Spirit can't deal with your heart. There's a fine line there. I know what I'm preaching you need to hear. And I know it'll change your life if you'll receive it. If it worked for me, it'll work for anybody. It's the same Spirit anointing the same body. You're not waiting tonight for your adoption. If you're born again of the Spirit of God, you are adopted.
Amen.
And you are positionally placed.
Amen.
Amen. Now you need to walk in it.
Amen.
The fullness of your adoption, of course, is the redemption of your body. But you're not waiting for an adoption. You're not waiting to be equipped. You're not waiting for an anointing. You're not waiting for a commission. You have been adopted. You have been equipped. You have been visited by seven angels thundering out his voice.
Amen.
Friends, there are things taking place in the services. And I talk to different ones of you, and I just so hesitate. You know, I never talk about these things hardly, and it's because we go so far to the other extreme because, you know, we see these people trying to puff themselves up and trying to put emphasis on this and that, but we're just going to start telling you. Because it happens. Several of you see light appear at certain times when certain things are being said, and I feel it. And God vindicates it in your life. We are being visited right now. I told you. He brought down an open book,
amen,
not a closed book. And things are being revealed to you that haven't been revealed in any other age to a people that are named in that book.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Your title has been brought back into your hands and it allows you to take your position. There's no excuse. There's no reason. There's no... If I could just get you to put down, don't let Satan anoint your feelings. Come to church service after service with touchy-feely. Somebody's out to get me. Nobody's out to get, the devil's out to get you. Let go and let God. This is a love affair. You receive this, you'll be better off. You'll go higher. How many want to have church? Let's come with the right attitude. As we saw last week, in the day of his first coming, there was a blindness, there was a delusion that prevented many from identifying their day and their visitation. Friends, revival fire will burn with a fervent zeal when our eyes are clearly open to our day. And you can't put it out. You can't put it out. Oh, you might have some days where you kind of feel a little bluesy, but the fire's still burning. Meanwhile, other people are saying, where's this and where's that? And then they're chasing after all these other things because they can't see what's going on. Where's the sign of his coming, they say. I say tonight, friends, God, open the eyes of the people so they can see what's presently taking place right before them right now. Lord, cause them to recognize they are actually a part of his coming. You are a part of this rapture. Forget everything, friends. Forget former churches, former this, former feelings, this, that, and the other. Look at the prize. Look at the goal. Look at the vision of where we're at right now. Don't be distracted. Don't turn to the right or the left. Cast down every thought that comes in your mind. Glory to God. You know, there's people that are coming in at the last minute. They're gonna pass you. And you're going to wonder, how did that happen? All it takes is a desire and a little bit of humility, or a lot of humility. Glory to God. You want to know why we're not seeing things operated at the level that they should be? It's because we're not seeing who we really are. Amen. It's not from a lack of teaching. Israel and the church. Spiritual death in the church. The last plague now. The church drying up, blowing away. That's right. We're living in a horrible time, he says. How that the church, the old timers that used to really have the victory, is losing out. Dying time. Letting the blood get off the front of the door. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. It's token time, friends. If you have that token and you've applied it, what's going to come? What can, though an host encamp about me, I will not fear. Though the enemy come against me, what shall I be afraid of? They're not calling the shots. You are. You have his word, and now you know what he wants done with it. Who's calling the shots? The word in you. A wedding's been called. Preparations have been made. But many fail to heed the call because of the natural things of this life. And it's hard for people to imagine how the natural things of this life are their greatest curse. But it is. The cycle of revival and death has never failed. And this last movement has death in the midst of it, just as in every other age. This revival will not die, but people will. Because there's a mixed multitude with every move of God. There are churches that haven't seen a soul saved in years. Divine healing testimonies are all past tense. We had a brother from another church tell us a few years back. He said, you know, I'm amazed, Brother Doug, how a brother came into your church from out in the world, and just in a short time, he's changed and he's sold out and he's on fire for this message. And I'm just amazed. And I stood there thinking, I'm amazed that you're amazed. That's the power of this blood. Take that away, we have nothing. A whole generation has no concept of what a move of God looks like. Come on, friends. You got to fight for it. They are slipping into the present darkness that's over the land, and the pressures of soft living are causing many to seek comfort in the pleasures of soft living. But at the same time, there are others that have light, and they are going out to meet him now. Amen. They're not in darkness. They see him. Amen. They're seeking him, and their hope is in the coming of the Lord. Amen. Those on the road to Emmaus, friends, they loved the message. But they were talking about Jesus in past tense. And they were looking back. And they were missing the unfolding that was amongst them at that particular time. They were discouraged. They were not comforted because they were looking back. There's no comfort in looking back, friends. They did not obey him. They were supposed to be going to Jerusalem. They're going to Emmaus. They're going backwards. They did not obey him by going to Jerusalem, where they would meet him. And they would meet with the present tense God, and they'd be right in the middle of what he was doing. They went back to Emmaus instead. And yet they were talking about him, which always draws him near. It's a good thing. But imagine if they'd have been discussing John the Baptist instead. Oh, I hope somebody's listening. Brother Branham this and Brother Branham that. There's, friends, you should recognize the Elijah of your day. Good, wonderful. And the message of it. But there comes a time when you go from the messenger to the message. So Jesus appeared to them in a different form. And they didn't recognize him. Too many are looking at the rapture as a singular event. And so they think he delays his coming. But they don't recognize we're in his coming. We're in the midst of his coming right now. When you recognize that his presence is here, then you're no longer discouraged. Okay, well, I'll say that to believers. When you recognize that his presence is here right now, you're no longer discouraged. Of whom should I fear? And we need to know these things by experience. That's why you're going through the trials you're going through. It's not because you're a bad person. It's not because God doesn't love you. It's not because you miss something. It's not because that boy or girl or man or woman is a mean person. It's to show you who you are and to bring it into your experience. His coming is in three phases. We know that, right? He does all three things as he descends, the prophet told us. There's a shout, which is the going forth of this message. There's the voice of the archangel, Christ. And then there's the trump of God, resurrection. Many say, well, I know who the messenger is. And I know the shout. And I've got all, I guess it's about 1,200 tapes now. I've got all 1,200 messages, and I've got the latest paraphernalia, you know, part of the hardwood floor and part of a bullet, and, you know, I went on the safari and what have you. I never miss Word of the Day from the Voice of God website. And I've got all the pictures up, and I'm in the rapture. Well, let's look at how deceptive that kind of thinking is for a moment. Just stay with me. Now, friends, if you can't let me preach this, if you want to personalize this and make it personal, this is a battle. And there's scripture saying that this will take place. And so I'm showing you in the scripture where it's taking place, and I'm showing you where it's taking place. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were wise, five of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. So they all needed to be woke up. They needed to hear a shout, didn't they? And at midnight, there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves." Brother Branham said in the 10 virgins in the 144,000 message, he said, go to an old-fashioned altar and die out like I did. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage. Not the marriage supper. The marriage takes place here. To the marriage. And the door was shut. So there's coming a time when the door will be shut. Afterward came also other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." So these virgins, they failed to be filled with the Spirit, and therefore they were not in this union of marriage. Both groups were awakened. Both groups heard the shout. But just because you heard the message, that does not get you into this union. The shout is what he does. But getting the oil is what you do. That's your response. A uniting is taking place now. It's not going to take place. It's taking place now. And so for you, the presence of God is not unrecognized. You're in a holy union. Hearing the message identifies you as a virgin, because you can only be a virgin by the washing of the water of the word. A denominational message will not make you a virgin. Not in this hour. Not when the living word is present. So you must be, to be a virgin, you got to be here in this present truth. So that identifies you as a virgin. But that's it, right? Well, Brother Baker, I get every bulletin and I read every one. Wonderful. I want to show you where Apollos missed it, and he was the elect of God. Now, he didn't stay that way, but he did miss it. Let's look at this for just a moment. We'll pull over here in just a moment. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures. He was a very, very, very gifted man and went on to be a very big part of the message. He came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. Instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. Listen to this. Knowing only the baptism of John. Now, what would be the type today? Brother Branham this. Brother Branham that. Brother Branham this. Right? And preaching it eloquently and fervently and sincerely instructed in it. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. So imagine the message of John that he preached. Oh, powerful, friends. He had a clear picture, Brother Henry, of the Elijah ministry that was to forerun this coming. And Aquila and Priscilla, they said, well, what a fine message. You know, but you only got part of the message that's been revealed today. The part that you caught, boy, did you catch it. Boy, did you capture that. It's wonderful. But we know that you didn't capture the full message because you only teach part of the message. God sent a prophet. You fully captured that Elijah ministry of our day, but you completely missed the part about the one that he introduced, that lived amongst us and walked amongst us. And this same one, he came, he died, he rose again, and he's amongst us. And you don't know anything about it. Now imagine if he would have said, you can't talk to me that way. Imagine if he was a Laodicean, in other words. They expounded unto him their day and its message, the way of God, more perfectly. And he had a love of the truth. Imagine if this eloquent and gifted, elected preacher of God would have said, you can't tell me anything. Well, we never would have heard about him. Would have been the end of it. It's 19:1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? I heard you're a bunch of Baptists. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. In other words, what are you talking about? We've never heard that preached. It's not been preached in our church. We're Baptists. We're told, you know, when we believed that we were filled, you know, that we were born again. And he said unto them, well, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Now, John's baptism was a good baptism, wasn't it? He was, but you were being baptized, being brought to repentance, right? Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him. That is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They got rebaptized. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. These are believers. But these are believers who had missed the unfolding that had been taking place right before them. Why am I saying this? Because you could be a believer and come from another church or come from another place, but your eyes haven't fully been opened yet. And that's okay. But let them come open. Don't fight it. So really, they missed the true Elijah message, even though they could quote it perfectly, because they missed the part about what it was all building up to. They played his tapes, going over and over and over what John had said. But no matter how long they listened, they still failed to hear. Therefore, they could never see their portion in all of this. All they could see was John's portion. Peter listened, but his ears were deafened by the noises of the day to what Christ would do, until he bottomed out. And then Christ came and fulfilled his word. God walked among men, friends. That was a coming of Christ in a body, demonstrating the word. But God wanted to do more than that. When Jesus arose, many did not believe. They couldn't see them in their midst. Others saw him in another form, and they couldn't see him in morpha, changing his form. They were clinging to the last form that he showed himself in, which was the man of Galilee. Isn't it strange, friends, 2,000 years later, that we got people amongst us that are clinging to who he was 2,000 years ago? That guy doesn't even exist. It's not the same body. Right? He died. He literally died. The spirit didn't die, but the man did. And then he rose again and was glorified. And then he came back in another form. They said that they recognized him in that form, but they couldn't recognize him when he came in other forms. This is where it gets nervous. Let's just rubber hit the road, friends. This is where it gets nervous. He's here. He is as much here right now as he was 2,000 years ago in one body. He's as much here. But he's of greater benefit to you tonight than he would be if he was in a corporal body. Because the form that he's coming in, he's coming inside of you and speaking to you personally, revealing his word to you personally, giving you comfort that somebody externally can't give you. So when he came in his bride body, they couldn't recognize him in the people. And here we are at the end of the age. And the Lord himself, let me just say it, the Lord himself has descended with a shout. I don't back up a bit. He has descended with a shout. Otherwise, how could you unite with him? This day, the scripture is fulfilled. And he didn't leave. He descended with a shout. Right? with a little open book in his hand. A message has been sent to forerun his coming. And if it'll break on you, friends, you're a part of that coming. His presence was made known and is being made known. We aren't looking for his coming, but for his going. We're looking for our final change. We're looking for the family of God from all the ages to come back and pick up bodies. And then we're looking to pick up bodies ourselves. Or to be changed. To be caught up together and to meet our Lord in the air physically. But spiritually, we've already united. We are supping with him and he with us. We are feasting on a little open book. And as a result, we are saying the same thing with Revelation. Now, I'm entitled to say things as pastor, and I'm just going to say it. Some of you are staying home, and you're taking advantage of this. This is why I never wanted to stream to begin with, because I knew you'd do this. Not you in particular, but I knew somebody would. I don't want you on my conscience. So if you're staying at home and there's no legitimate reason for you not being here, shame on you. Get right. Don't let the devil. It's not the same. You sitting on your couch, laying in your bed with your moo-moo, your bunny slippers and powdered donuts on your chest, curlers in your hair. It ain't the same. You don't have the same attitude. You're not pulling. There's a proximity thing to this. When Jesus preached, people on the other side of the world didn't benefit. It was those that were there that benefited. It was those that actually heard. Amen. And when you're here, you change the service. Amen. But once again, I worry about you. I do. Some of you stay home because you're backslid. And is it chicken or egg? You're backslid because you stay home. You can't backslide in church. Well, hallelujah. You know what? I don't care anymore. You know, I don't like to have to say these things, but I know my position. I know my place. And I will not face him and you and explain why I didn't tell you these things. And I know this works. Amen. And I know that if I stayed home, I'd cool off. Yes. Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, and let him that heareth say, and let him that is athirst, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely this day. This scripture is being fulfilled. Amen. And again, Revelation 19:5, as we close, and a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, if you feel like it, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, hallelujah, which means praise my God, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Friends, he has never had preeminence in a bride body until this day. Full preeminence. Oh, he had preeminence in that first church age, but he himself said, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Foxes have dens, sparrows have nests, the Son of Man hath no place to lay his head. He does today. Amen. There's a body on the earth that the head is uniting with. He has a place to lay his head, and he's having preeminence in a body. Amen. And these people, whoever they are, I happen to believe I'm one of them. And if that bothers you, you need to get to praying. Shouldn't bother you that I recognize who I am. I'm not a loser, I'm a winner. I'm not trying to overcome, I am an overcomer. I'm just coming more fully to that recognition. And as you begin to recognize it more, you walk in it. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice. Amen. And give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come. Amen. And His wife. She's not a bride now. She's a wife. Amen. And His wife Amen. Hath made herself Amen. Ready. Amen. She was given this message. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, washed by the water of the word. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. He granted this to her. And He said unto me, right blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Thus saith the Lord. And I, John, I fell at His feet to worship Him. And He said, that's nice. No, He said, see thou do it not. I am not him. I'm your fellow servant. In other words, I'm a prophet. John, I'm a prophet. And of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, don't worship me, worship him. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Musicians, if you make your way up tonight. Oh, my friends. Something's going to break. Something's got to break. Something's got to shake. Something's got to move. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't get nervous. That's just His presence. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let go and let God have His wonderful way. Let go and let God have His way. Your sorrows will vanish and your night turn to day. Oh, let go and let God have His way. Amen. Let go.
Hallelujah, hallelujah,
That's almost deaf, right? Down from his glory. Down from his. Oh, hallelujah. Ever live. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name, Lord. My God and Savior. I love you, Lord. And Jesus. Hallelujah. Born in a manger. Hallelujah. To his own a stranger. Hallelujah. A man of sorrows, tears, and agony. Don't you love him tonight, friends? Jesus, thank you, Lord, that in the dead of night, not one faint. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God gracious, tender. Oh, hallelujah. Laid aside his splendor. Oh, thank you, Lord. Took the form.